Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
In a month, where Jake Fraser-McGurk inexplicably failed to be named captain of Australia's T20 World Cup team, and in fact didn't even make the squad, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Australian T20 cap number 54, Mitch Marsh. Australian T20 cap number 32, David Warner.
So you are here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and Ricky Ponting gravely informing the stunned nation that it would be instead Mitch Marsh who was the Australian captain for the T20 World Cup.
Not Dave Warner.
Not Dave Warner. No, he had to mention Dave Warner because Dave Warner was the one who ostensibly has taken Fraser McGurk's spot.
Huh.
Yes. So that was a little audio clip that Cricket Australia popped out showing former players from the 2007 World Cup. They were all asked to read out the members of the squad, and you had everybody cheerily doing it. I think Mike Hussey was there cheerily saying Maxie for Glenn Maxwell, and you know Glenn McGrath was there, and Andrew Simon's kids were there piping up. Michael Clark popped in, but Ricky Ponting was the man. He was deadly serious about the entire thing.
Yeah.
He was filmed in like a prison somewhere. All you could see behind him was like these naked walls, and he was just staring intently down the camera saying, Mitchell Marsh. So, yes, he takes it all very seriously.
It is. And anyway, Fraser McGurk, I mean, who would you rather have in there? Warner? Oh, obviously, Fraser McGurk is a better player.
Well, he certainly lit up the IPL, hasn't he? He's smashed. I think in the most recent game, he became the first person to hit 350s in less than 20 balls. And that's from like 8 innings or something.
Yeah. And anyway, in every other comp, Fraser McGurk has replaced Warner.
Yes.
I guess this is a bit of balance, right?
I guess so, yeah. So this is Warner replacing Fraser McGurk because everybody had him penciled in. Mm. Also, by the way, Steve Smith didn't make the squad. No one cares about that. It's all Fraser McGurk chat.
So Warner has also taken Steve Smith's spot.
Yes, apparently, yeah. Mm. They've got one spot for an old man That's David Warner in there.
Mm.
But yeah, of course, Fraser McGurk, before he became, you know, this IPL sensation, he was most famous for being sent home from, I think it was an under-19 World Cup after being scratched by a monkey.
Yes, I believe that is his origin story.
His origin story. Yeah. Gave him the powers. It was a radioactive monkey, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's given him the powers to just thrash it all over the place.
Mm.
David Warner, as far as I'm aware, has never once been scratched by a radioactive monkey.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, yet another reason.
Not yet.
Not yet, no. Plenty of time for Warner in the dying hours of his career.
I'm sure they have them in the US or wherever they happen to be playing.
Yes, yes. But, you know, on the other hand, good work from the Australian selectors. I think, you know, they're just standing up to India and they're saying, look, we're not staying up late to watch this stupid tournament that's on between midnight and 4 a.m.
Yeah, David Warner's family will stay up late.
Yeah.
So put him in the team.
Yeah, George Bailey's not staying up late. Get those dimples by staying up till 4 a.m. watching bloody IPL cricket.
Not a chance.
So, yeah, he has no idea what Fraser McGurk's doing over there. He's just like, nah, just taking the same team they've selected for the last 2 years.
Save Fraser. Yeah, save Fraser McGurk for a tournament where we can actually watch him.
Exactly.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the IPL, the tournament that has been going since the beginning of time.
Well, we haven't recorded in a month. I'm not sure what has happened in that last month, but I'm pretty
sure
it's
all
been IPL.
We're still in the home and away group stage, and I had a little look at the ladder before, and it looks pretty similar to when we last recorded.
Yep. So every team has got, you know, twice as many points as what they had when we previously looked, but
that's
all that's happened.
Yeah.
But I think the highlight in that time was, or for me anyway, was that we discovered the location of Virat Kohli's waist.
Yes.
And this came about in one of RCB's many doomed run chases. Yeah. They've had a lot of doomed run chases. And Coley thought he should have got a free hit from a high full toss. And they went to the ball tracking and it was deemed, no, that's illegal delivery because the projection showed the ball falling just below Virat Kohli's waist.
Yeah.
And then we later discovered how they knew where Virat Kohli's waist was.
Yes. So all of the players in the IPL have been apparently measured by sanctioned BCCI tailors with their waist heights locked, presumably their inside leg, their waist height, their shoulder height, etc., all locked into Hawkeye.
Yes.
For precisely this moment. And it worked. And also, you know, coincidentally, if one of them needs an extra pair of pants.
Yep. They've got the Hawkeye could just spot it out. Attach Hawkeye to a 3D printer, print out a new pair of slacks. You don't have to do anything.
This is artificial intelligence taking over the game.
It is indeed. Mm. It is indeed. I also think that like now that we've got all these measurements of the players, I think you've got all these awards in the IPL. I think a golden belt should be awarded to the player with the highest waist of the season.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's the one thing that Cameron Green might contribute to this IPL. He hasn't done much else.
Yeah.
But he could have the golden belt and, have a very high waist.
They should also do waist calibration too. If they eat a little bit much breakfast and they walk out there, that Hawkeye would suddenly go, sorry, waist is too large now. Yeah, please go back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, presumably all the players have to like track their calories all the time. That's a very easy extrapolation for Hawkeye to do to hack into those calorie trackers and go, looks like Rohit Sharma's had a bit of a big lunch.
Yeah. And what about the 17-year-olds who are continuing to grow and the tournament goes for years?
Yeah.
So they could be several inches taller by the time their waist measurement is needed for a ball tracking event.
Yeah. I also think another option with this new technology is that they should make, because they've got the impact sub in there, the impact sub should be use the original player's waist height, because that just opens up all kinds of tactical strategies. Do you have a impact sub with like a higher waist so they can get no balls that are, you know, still just at knee height for them? It's like all kinds of strategy that could open up. So I think that's something else that they could look at.
And they could also look at the outfits and the kit of the players. Do they tuck their shirts in?
Yes.
Do they not tuck their shirts in? Is there any way of hacking the impact sub?
That's what a lot of players who have bent elbows infamously do. They bowl with their sleeves rolled down, so it's harder to detect. Yeah, I think an untucked shirt should be given similar side eye from the match officials. It's like, where is your waist? What are you trying to hide? Mm. So yeah, all lots of things to come out of this technology. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So that has been the most exciting bit of the IPL as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, apart from just bowlers getting carted as always.
Yeah.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, this episode is sponsored by my newsletter. That's over at newsletter.leapcricket.com. And it has been quietish during this IPL time because I've been asleep through most of the IPL. But I have been doing a written version of the Muller Award, which has graced this podcast for more than a decade. So that's worth signing up for over at newsletter.leapcricket.com. But once the T20 World Cup kicks off, and that's less than a month away now, I'll be back to my report cards. And as usual, every Australian match will get a report card, assuming I could stay up for the T20 World Cup. And any other games that capture my interest long enough will also get report cards. And they'll come straight to your email inbox if you sign up. And you can sign up for free. All kinds of paid options there, but just sign up for free to begin with. No need to throw your money away. That's newsletter.leapcricket.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am an ECB marketing droid, and I have created the optimal form of cricket.
What's 10 times 10?
How many balls are there in 16.4 overs?
What's the greatest cricket tournament the world has ever seen?
The 100. The 100.
The 100.
The
100.
The 100 is Substack meets Masterclass meets The Economist meets The New Yorker.
Yes, those four things collide and we get The 100.
Yes.
Of course, it's you can tell by the English accents. This is the England cricket
summer?
Season, summer cricket season. I'm hesitating on the word summer, of course,
yes.
Because famously people in Australia love to make fun of England where it rains occasionally and sometimes snows on the cricketers, but it doesn't stop them from playing, does it, Dan?
No. They've been playing a lot of county cricket.
Mm.
The 100 is imminent, though.
It's, right.
You can sense it coming. It's in the air.
Hasn't the ECB sold it?
They've announced that they're going to sell 49% of the 100 to raise money for poverty-riddled counties. There's just like a bake sale or something.
That's most of them, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That means that 49 balls of each innings will go to new sponsors, which is very exciting. So it'll go to, you know, they'll promote Tesco or Daniel Radcliffe or whoever pays.
Does a new ball come out every time with a different logo on it?
It does, yeah. Every 49 balls with one logo on it, and then, you know, 51 with the ECB logo, presumably. Huh. Yeah. So this is the kind of thing you can't do if you have 120 balls in your innings, because 49% of that would be 58.8 deliveries.
That makes no sense.
Makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Can't sponsor 0.8 of a delivery. So
no.
The 100 has solved everything again. It's good stuff from them. And I just think it's very good to see that we've finally found somebody willing to take the shortest form of the game as seriously as Ricky Ponting does.
Yep, that's exactly right. So that's fantastic. And we found out also from Ben Stokes' Instagram,
yep.
I think, that he was just waiting for the 100 because he doesn't play county cricket, and he was walking around Manchester while he was waiting for the 100 to start, right?
Yep.
He was waiting for his visa.
Yeah, he's waiting for a visa. I'm not sure where he was going, but...
he's probably going to the World Cup.
No, he's not playing the World Cup.
Oh,
he's
right.
Ruled himself out. He said, nah, can't be bothered with that. So
he's just going for a holiday. And
I guess, yeah. Anyway, he posted this map showing he'd walked 22.2 kilometres around Manchester.
No wonder he's injured.
Yeah. I thought the 22.2 kilometres might have been like a Richie Beno tribute.
Yes.
It seems a very specific number.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. And Daisy Carter Twitter feed pointed out, Lord, please give Ben Stokes his visa. He can't last another day like this in Manny.
But speaking of England captains doing odd things, we also had Michael Vaughan popping up on Twitter. A lot of people are blocked by Michael Vaughan on Twitter.
Why is Michael Vaughan not blocked already on Twitter?
I don't know. But he's blocked many, many other people. So this is a community service we're doing, providing news of what he's tweeted.
Yeah.
So one of the things he did tweet was that his four semi-finalists for the T20 World Cup were, quote, England, Australia, he had an extra L in there somehow, South Africa and the West Indies. And presumably the extra L stands for let's not pick Fraser McGurk.
Yes, yeah, very clever. Subtle. And also, aren't all of those four teams in the same group?
Yes, people.
Well, maybe not all of them.
Not all of them, but enough of them that,
yeah,
that specific combination of semi-finalists is actually impossible. So
okay.
Everyone was very quick to point out that.
Yeah, but Michael Vaughan, creativity.
Yeah, and that's the modern English approach to the game,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
It's brazen and brash. And
it's Bazball.
It is. It's exactly Bazball. Mm. Unafraid to challenge orthodox thinking. You know, did England win back the Ashes or defeat India in India by doing what was expected or realistic or bound by the constraints of logic? No, they did not.
No, they did not.
We had one more piece of information come out, and this ties into your idea from a bit earlier.
Yes, indeed. So in last year's Women's Ashes, England used an AI company to help with squad selection in the Women's Ashes.
Yes.
I'm not sure we knew about that at the time, did we?
No. This is brand new news. So we had this week, I think.
Out from under the embargo of whatever it was, 12 months.
Yep.
And the coach, John Lewis, he claimed they ran about 250,000 simulations with all the permutations of what could possibly happen with different squads.
Are there 250,000 possible squads in England?
Can you do the probability on that?
It seems like a lot of squads. Anyway.
It does. Well, I guess if you leave one player out, then the whole squad changes.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
They've just gone with the probabilities on that or the number of possible combinations. Anyway, they reckon it helped us win the T20 series and got us back in the Ashes. Fantastic, if true.
Yeah. I mean, they probably should have programmed it to help win actually enough matches to win the Ashes. That seems one of the first things you would have asked. What are we calling this? Chat LBWT?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
One of the things you should have asked it was like, what do we have to do to win the Ashes?
Yeah.
And then go, all right, let's organize a plan to do that. Run through your 250,000 simulations. You don't do what do we have to do to tie the Ashes and not actually regain them.
And just win the T20 bit of the Ashes.
Yeah. So a foolish oversight there from England. So, but maybe that would have been the 250,000 and first simulation. So they're unlucky that they stopped at that 250,000.
Yeah, that's right. And also we want John Lewis and England to continue to use this particular methodology because it's pretty good for Australia, right?
Yeah, no, it certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Mueller Award.
So this is the Mueller Award, the wonderful award for underappreciated acts in cricket, named after Scotty Mueller, friend or enemy or something of Shane Warne,
yes.
The late, great Shane Warne. And also the new newsletter, new segment in Dan's newsletter. And
yes.
I imagine some of these particular Mueller nominations have featured, have they, in your newsletter or not yet?
At least one of them has, yes. And that'll be the first one. So why don't I do this first one, which comes directly from that newsletter, which is probably more useful because this is a very visual one, but I'll do my best to explain it. So not everybody's playing the IPL or county cricket or announcing World Cup squads.
That's right. Some of them are walking around Manchester.
Some of them are walking around Manchester. Some of them, and you're not going to believe this, are actually playing T20 internationals.
Mm,
in particular,
they're getting ready for the...
In particular, it's New Zealand and Pakistan, and they're getting their human players onto cricket grounds, having a bat and bowl, having you know a bit of look at what's going on.
Mm.
And it was a 2-2 series tie. I think there was one washed out game. So, and my favourite part in the washed out game, two balls in that game, one dude was out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a bit unlucky for him.
Fantastic.
But that wasn't the highlight of the series. The highlight of the series was Tim Seifert. He was batting. And he dived full stretch at a wide delivery outside off stump, bat stretched out in his arms in a desperate attempt to hit this wide delivery.
Mm.
He didn't get onto it, but it was a spectacular Superman-esque effort. It was very, very impressive.
It looked a little bit like he'd forgotten he was batting and he was going for the catch.
Yes. Yeah, it was a diving slips catch, except he had a bat in his hand.
That's right.
And it was out like it was diving from second slip, trying to get something, a fourth slip or something.
Exactly.
It was far too far to go. So, yeah, so good stuff from Tim Seifert.
And they also, well, New Zealand used this chance to a little bit of a preview of their kit for the World Cup.
Yes.
And people who like kits, I mean, everyone loves kits for the, particularly for the T20 World Cup. Yeah. It's
I'm indifferent to kits.
You're indifferent.
I'm kit indifferent.
Lots of people like it, but you were disappointed they didn't add a cape, right?
Well, I mean, if you've got people willing to dive like Superman, you need a cape as part of your World Cup attire.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's just are they backing his showboating or not? It's a mixed messaging from New Zealand. Mm. Yes. So that was the first nomination is Tim Seifert's Crazy Dive.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now I'm going to talk about the women who've also had a qualifying tournament on the way for the Women's T20 World Cup, which is going to be in October, a little bit after the men. So Scotland and Sri Lanka both qualified, but I think you said your favourite team was Thailand. And why was that, Dan?
I think my favourite team is Thailand because they finished third, I think, in their group. So it was two groups of five, I think. They had two wins and two losses from their four matches, all very impressive. Except they accomplished this feat despite never once hitting triple figures as
a team. That's pretty good.
Yes.
Economical.
Yeah, so they were bowled out for 55 against Sri Lanka. They lost that game. Against Uganda, they ended up 1 for 64 chasing. They won. They bowled them out cheaply, chasing 62 all out or something. Against the USA, they bowled the USA out for 54 and they were 1 for 56 chasing them. So wow, another double figure score. And then they lost to Scotland just short of making triple figures because they only made 5 for 99 from their 20 overs batting first.
Wow.
So the only teams that could beat them despite their double digit scores were the two teams that qualified, Scotland and Sri Lanka.
Yes.
So that's Thailand. That's my nomination.
Yeah. They obviously don't have that third column on their scoreboard.
No.
Not used to it. So anyway, still in women's cricket, there was a 17-year-old off spinner, Romalia, who took the best ever figures in women's T20 internationals on her debut for Indonesia. And that they were playing Mongolia in yet another tournament.
Yep, tournaments everywhere.
Anyway, it was a 3.2 overs spell. Three maidens did that somehow. Seven for none.
Seven for none. That's how you get three maidens.
Yep. And in her second match, none for nine from three overs. So that was, you know, they obviously worked her out.
Yeah, worked her out. She's past it now, but still.
She went for 3-3-3.
Yep, yep.
Seven wickets.
Seven wickets for no runs. Mm. Yeah, so good start to her career. Undone, of course, by that second match. So return to the pack.
And I'd like to make a nomination for the country of the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because not only have they taken money off me because I've put a bet on them for the men's T20 World Cup.
Yes. Got good odds on that one, I believe.
Yeah, good odds in the 500s. They've also taken some money off me in a bet on the Eurovision Song Contest winners. So yes. I feel like this needs to be some kind of...
A double.
Extra, yeah, a double. A double for the betting, but also you should get some kind of trophy. If you can pull off both the women's T20 World Cup, the men's T20 World Cup and the Eurovision trophy, I think you should get something extra special because I think that's pretty hard.
I'm not sure they qualified for the women's T20 World Cup.
Well, that makes it... Look, the degree of difficulty.
It's very hard,
Very difficult.
Yes.
And,
but yeah, so, all right. Well, I'm just hoping you get both these things. If you win the Eurovision with the bet, are you going to put those winnings? Are you going to carry it over? Are you going to bet on them more money in the World Cup?
I mean, whatever else Netherlands is doing. I mean, presumably I can bet on them in the football and all sorts of things.
Bet on their presumably they've got an election later this year.
Yeah, they've probably got some kind of tulip competition.
Yep, all kinds of things.
Let's
go as far as we can into Netherlands stereotypes.
Yeah, but still, I want to give the Mueller Award to Tim Seifert, who is diving all over the place and just wasting all of that. They need to save those kind of antics for the actual T20 World Cup when no Australians will be watching.
Exactly, yes. Speaking of not watching things, I don't have a segue for that, so let's just shut it down. You've been listening to me. I'm Dan Liebke. I'm at Lieb Cricket. And you've also been listening to Kat Jones, who is at Cricket Bat Cat. Those handles work on pretty much any social media platform. You can also follow us on at Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter or like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And don't forget to subscribe to newsletter.leabcricket.com. It's free and it's fun. And we will speak to you all, sometime soon.
Sometime before the World Cup.
Exactly.
See you later.
Bye.
Podcast Network.